Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously upgraded huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate New York, and through our links to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston, Massachusetts. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, NMLS number 37405. Hunt Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing cost for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that is our guarantee. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. I mean, today's very, very competitive market, and I hear stories every day, and they're really amazing. It's just unbelievable what's going on out there. There's obviously a shortage of inventory across the whole country, but when you find the home you want to make sure that your offer is extremely competitive. Best is cash, and a lot of people don't have all that cash. But the next best thing, and really the equivalent, is a pre-purchase commitment available only through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. No cost or risk. Call them today for personalized, customized service that will knock your socks off. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property that's for sale here in our community and all across the communities we serve. Our local number here, 716-631-4800. Just enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. Doesn't have to be ours. Hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property. It's all automatic and just that fast. Anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's, and drive by a sign. I drove one the other day. I don't know how anybody could figure out who to call or what to do. There was so much information on there. So anyway, just remember one number, 631-4800, no matter whose listing it is, and all the rest is automatic. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Sabres, the Buffalo Bills, and the Rochester Americans. Go Sabres. Big game last night. We are broadcast live here on WBE at 9:30 a.m., also 98.5 HD3. If you want to hear a different quality of sound. And for those who'd like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance and star 930. And you can listen to us anywhere on the planet at WBEN.com. So remember that if you're traveling. We have a very special show for you today. Live remote, protecting our little social distance issue today, is Mickey Kearns. Mr. Kearns is the Erie County Clerk. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning, Peter. How are you doing today?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding. It's a beautiful day, and as you said, the Buffalo Sabres got a big win last night, and it seems like they're clicking on all cylinders.
Sam Reinhart had a hat trick. That's a wonderful thing to see. Anyway, it's great to see them on the upswing. We need that here in town. Certainly, I know a lot of people would just like to watch more hockey, be able to be there live, and I hope that everyone will be able to do that soon. Mickey, you've been involved in politics for a while. Tell us what the county clerk does.
Sure. The county clerk is a very unique office. It's an independently elected official. I'm responsible for the recording, the filing, and the maintaining of the central repository of legal documents. We affect, obviously, as you know, property titles, including land and real estate transactions, corporate filings, assumed names. I'm clerk of the Supreme and County Courts for all court pleadings and papers. And finally, I'm responsible for maintaining all court records in the county clerk state court system. And pistol permits, we handle all the pistol permits for Erie County. So you have the Registrar's Division, the corporate DBAs, judgment, liens, easy passes, and of course, the favorite of everyone that we always want to talk about is our auto bureau. So, you know, Peter, as you know, and you stated, it's been a tough year due to COVID-19, all the unpredictable circumstances our community has endured. But, you know, the one thing I'm proud to say is, you know, the Erie County Clerk's Office, we persevered because you know, the one thing you should know is we are the business office for Erie County. And without this business office going forward, as your business is, the real estate business, it would have came to a standstill. So I'm very proud of that, and I'm very proud that the many functions of the office and the importance of the office to Erie County.
How did you function during the initial days of the shutdown, and then obviously later on as well?
Sure, it was a difficult one. Obviously, no one has gone through a pandemic because it was not a fiscal crisis. It was more of a health crisis. So the one thing we did is, you know, you gather information, and we looked at the importance of the office. You know, the clerk's office, we processed over $141 million in transactions. That's a lot of money, and over $2 billion of real estate. So thinking about it, Peter, the governor's pause order, unfortunately, in March, we had to temporarily close the Erie County Auto Bureau facilities. And if you think of that, many people, literally, they need their vehicles on the road every day. It's an impossible situation. So we decided to institute curbside service. You know, I saying to my daughter, you know, the food doesn't come to the grocery store. Someone has to drive it there. We provide CDL testing. So to answer your question, during these critical months, I decided to keep our land records open. We took a risk working with the employees and working with our partner. You know, the largest sales tax for the county is vehicle transactions, which comes out of our auto bureau. So we did the curbside. And with the financial industry, I just knew it would have a major impact, a major financial crisis on Erie County if I did not stay open. And no one knew at that time. The CDC was giving conflicting reports about whether you can get COVID from a surface. But, you know, after a couple of weeks, we learned that we were in pretty good shape because all of our workers were staying pretty healthy, and we wanted to maintain that continuity. And I guess to wrap it up and to sum it up, you know, we just said, you know, Erie County needs certainty in uncertain times and financial certainty. So even though had to change our business practices, and they'll probably, and I could explain a little later, business has changed potentially forever in the clerk's office and the workflow and the past routines of the workers. We decided that we had to stay open, and we did stay open and worked every single day with the employees, Peter, to show the leadership to say, okay, if you're going to be here, I'm going to be here. And we made it through, and we made it through healthy and safe. Many of those business deals, like the Jamal deal, the big one with the M&T deal with the former HSBC, that wouldn't have been done if we closed. And I did have the power and the authority to close the office, and I decided not to do that because the banks, the purchasers, and the real estate market needed it. And I did learn one thing, Peter, and I think the residents of Erie County should know this, and it's not because I am currently the Erie County Clerk, but I learned the importance of that office, that if that office closes, it really could bankrupt the county.
Well, I think that's true. And certainly there was a time, though, when it was very, very difficult to do a recording. Is that not the case?
No, what we did is we decided for the safety. We did things by mail, and the staff was excellent. So you had two choices. Literally, if no one was coming into work, no recordings were happening. So we had continuity. The only time, and we knew it, and we knew it was going to be a tough sledge for many of the different people, because you're not only changing the practice of your employees. Remember, we work with the legal community, the title community. People had to change the practices, their workflows that they've done for maybe 25 or 30 years. We did things more online, which we're going to continue to do. So, yes, no, we continued the recording, but because, as you said earlier in the show, over $2 billion of real estate, we were also, in addition to that, quite busy. So you add in, it was the perfect storm, you add in COVID, but we maintained continuity of service, and we're continuing to record every single day. And I even have sometimes the employees come in on a Saturday. I'll be going into work today. And it just, as you said, just to get through this, the frontline workers are really heroes. So as you said, you know, people were continuing to do the transactions. We closed the office to the public. However, we had that continuity of the work, which I think was really important.
Well, we know how, obviously, our title agency does a lot of business with you. And it's interesting to see how quickly we had to adapt. And I'm sure others did as well. We made sure that we could do everything digitally. How do you see this going forward in terms of the real change of the function, day-to-day function, that is, of the county clerk's office, the whole issue of being digital?
I think it's going to be very important. We're going, I'll give you the perfect example. We are merging departments. I'm looking at the Auto Bureau. We're right-sizing the office, and we're going to use technology in order to obviously create efficiencies in the office. And one of the things I'm proud of is we were anticipating a $3 million surplus, and we tightened our belts. We tightened our expenses. We saved 1% on our expenses. But the one thing I'm very proud of is Peter, we're never going to go back as long as I'm the clerk. We're moving forward. I'm looking at ways, and I always believe this, to bring government closer to the community. It shouldn't be a building. There's a building. It's important. But I'm going to make sure that we can make government easier for people. And I'm reorganizing every single department. I'm doing the best that I can. Perfect example, the pistol permit office, when I became the clerk, it's about 18 months to get a pistol permit. That is now down to 2 to 3 months. And we were inundated with applications. We normally get about 2,200 pistol applications. We received 7,500 during this time. So, you know, I think myself, as a former business person, this is an opportunity to change government, to make government more efficient. And that's what I'm going to do in the clerk's office. Every opportunity I can to save the taxpayers money and return, you know, more revenue to keep taxes down in Erie County, I'm going to do it. And there's no idea that I will not listen to. I listen to my employees. We're doing space studies. We will be closing an Auto Bureau next year because I don't think it's really productive in the sense of with New York State going to more technology. We have to be more competitive because even though we're an agent of the state, we are in competition with the state. So me, I look at it as a challenge, but I also look at it as an opportunity.
Well, I'm glad you do because you know only too well, as having been an assemblyman for 5 years at least, I think. Was it 5, 6 years?
Yep.
So anyway, during that period of time, you saw firsthand what happens in Albany and how it affects us here in Western New York. And most recently, we're seeing tax increases, or we will see tax increases. We're also seeing bigger deficits than we've ever seen at the state and the national level. I mean, these are shocking deficits. This week, Jeffrey Gundlach, who is chief benefactor of the new addition to the Albright Knox Art Gallery, which will now become the Albright Knox Gundlach Art Museum, a magnificent facility. And he spoke to a group of people this week and described the conditions at the national level that are really kind of horrifying when it comes to things like interest rates for the average home buyer today, which have to be affected as we look to inflation and also the massive amounts of government debt. How do you, when you were in Albany, how did you plead, I guess, the case of Western New York when it comes to the whole issue of the burden that people in this community face tax-wise?
Well, the one thing I learned in Albany, and I learned it very quickly, is it's a top-down leadership structure, meaning that the speaker and the, you know, in both houses, and then the governor, three people, four people, it doesn't make a difference if it's five people in the room. There is not equal representation. And when I went to Albany, I sort of am an independent elected official. I'm a registered Democrat that runs on the Republican line independently. And, you know, I met with leadership on the first day, and literally they sat me in an office and said, this is how you're going to vote. I said, no, it's not. And I was an outcast. I didn't vote for the speaker. Matter of fact, there was a time for about 2.5 years where I didn't caucus with either the Democrats or the Republicans. I caucused with myself because I was there to represent the people. So what's lost in Albany is you're going there for the people. You're not going there for the party. You're not going there, you know, you're going there for your neighbor. And I would tell young legislators, you know, when you vote your conscience. But to answer your question about taxes, there is no responsibility. There is no accountability to the taxpayers. You know, the governor talks about a debt ceiling, you know, maybe some debt relief when it comes to the tax cap. However, our spending and our borrowing was out of control. And it's done with a wink and a nod. And really, we really need to look at our finances, because eventually, you can see it now. You see it at the local level where, you know, we'll use someone. I live in the city of Buffalo. They look to the state for their funding. And then you look at the state level. They look to the federal government for their funding. Well, who is the federal government going to look to? They're going to look towards to the taxpayers. So the taxpayers are going to see higher taxes going forward in the future. This is not free money. And I think, additionally, it's going to hurt the market. It's going to hurt business. So there is no, Peter, to say it, there is no accountability. And the final thing I'll say is I found it very soon, too, the rampant corruption in Albany that is there. It's one of the reasons why I left Albany, because I wanted to come back to the local level. I wanted to be a local representative. I wanted to be with the local people. And I thought the clerk's office could be that office I can do that at. So there's corruption, and we're seeing it. Sheldon Silver is currently in jail, the former Assembly Speaker, the former Senate leader, Dean Skelos. He was in jail. Governor Cuomo is probably going to go to jail. So until we have a house cleaning, until we can change Albany, and the only thing I could see at the federal and state level that's going to do that is term limits. And term limits are the only way we're going to get sort of a recycling of elected officials, or things will never change.
Well, I don't think that, it doesn't seem to me anyway, that the elected officials themselves will vote term limits in. It's hard to see that based on just what you described in terms of the top-down structure. Seems like once somebody gets in office, they're there for life, unless something radical happens. And with effectively the way our structure is today, with both the legislature and the Senate and the executive branches of our state government controlled by one party, I mean, why would they want that to change, I guess would really be the question. And so I guess, unfortunately, the byproduct of this is really two things. It's the businesses that have been crushed here in New York State through the, and across the country, it's not just New York State, by the pandemic shutdown. And then the fact that many people in states, high-tax states, are fleeing, those with assets, those that can move. Do you see from our position here in Western New York, what can we do? And obviously the county clerk's office has a fairly specific function, but as a, you know, an occupant of somewhat of a bully pulpit, what do you say to the people of our community in terms of how we're going to evolve as a state that can become competitive again?
Well, you know, I think you said it. I think locally, I mean, we have not, I'm a very optimistic person, not to sound pessimistic, but, you know, we can learn. I think Erie County has been the leader. One of the things I've done is when I come back from Albany, you mentioned inventory. You know, I have a zombie task force where we're dealing with the foreclosure crisis in the sense of we bring the banks to the table, we bring the service people to the table, and we sit down and we talk to them. I think, Peter, what we need in government is more cooperation and sitting down and listening to people and talking to them, especially the business community, because those are the people that are paying the high taxes and they're creating the jobs. But to me, it's looking at government, it's reinventing government in a different way, and it's partnering with the private industry to say, how can we create jobs? And I'll give you the perfect example. In many instances, we give a lot of free money away to corporations. But you know what we could do is we could provide infrastructure to make those projects more reasonable to meet their cost needs. And I think in the end, making business stand on their own 2 feet is a good thing. But government can be supportive, as you said, with infrastructure improvements. And I would always say good infrastructure leads to good development. Obviously, it's going to lead to jobs. It's going to lead to additional job creation. So I think we've had stale leadership over the years. We don't have leaders that want to think differently, that want to think out of the box. If they're getting reelected every 4 or 2 years, there's no need to change. The pandemic is going to change that. There is going to be a priority because there will be less funding from the federal government in order to do the things that we're going to do and to maintain. People can't pay these high taxes anymore, and you have senior citizens that are just making it. You know, they're living on, you know, very closely on very small budgets. So to me, perfect example is, you know, you talked about inventory is there's so many houses. The clerk's office, that's where the foreclosure begins. The list pendant is filed. Before I became clerk, you know, some of those properties were sitting there for 10 years. That's unacceptable in Buffalo's winters. As you know, we want to turn that property around as quickly as possible to either a family or an investor, and we're doing it. Since I've been the clerk in a short time, we've already investigated and turned around over 175 properties that would not even be on the tax rolls, and that doesn't even include my assemblyman days. So, you know, you have to think about, I have my duties every day in the office. Of course, they come first. But we need elected officials to work a little bit harder and to think outside the box to come up with the solutions for the private sector and to be, to be more accessible in the sense of that, you know, we can't look at things the same as we've done in the past. And the pandemic is the opportunity.
I agree. We have only about 30 seconds before we have to go to a break. But we come back, I'd like you to talk about how you're speeding up the foreclosure process, because you know, there's two sides, obviously, to that issue. And we are, as you know, we are a lien theory state, which means that a lender gets a lien instead of title to the property, as you would, for example, in Arizona, as the lender. And until the lien is paid off, the title is technically held, which makes by the lender, which makes the foreclosure process a lot faster. But I like your thoughts on that because it's very important to many people in this community. We'll be right back with more from our House Steers after these important messages.
Real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker. NMLS 37405. New York Department of Financial Services and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the ever-improving HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Western New York, but all across the markets we serve in New York State and through our links to our markets in Boston, Massachusetts, and also Phoenix, Arizona. You'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after. 633-3700 is the number to call. Ask for details about that and also our pre-purchase commitment and our second look program, which is a very, very interesting program. Oftentimes, if you watch any kind of television, there's going to be an ad about some lender someplace that's got some program that promises to be the best thing since sliced bread. You may want to call on that and find out what the details are, and they may issue you what's called a approval or pre-approval or some kind of qualification statement saying that they'll loan you up to X number of dollars based on a million different circumstances. That's all well and good, but you want to make sure that you're getting the very best deal available. Our second look program, I will guarantee that. 633-3700. We'll take a look at whatever you've received, and we'll also make sure that that's the very best deal in town. If it's not, we'll offer you one. And no matter what, we're going to give you a gift certificate, so please call 633-3700. 3700. And if you just want to pick up the phone and ask any question about real estate, call us in this, at Hunt Real Estate at 633-9400. One of our customer service reps will instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. There's no greater guarantee in the marketplace today. That's the seller security plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional. I'm live remote today with Mickey Kearns. Mr. Kearns is the Erie County Clerk, and with a very interesting perspective, having been part of the New York State Assembly for a number of years as well. Welcome back, Mickey. And before the break, we were talking. You were beginning to, I was going to ask you about the foreclosure process, and how do you speed that up?
So when I was in Albany, we passed legislation to municipalities the tools, and when the opportunity came back, as I said, to become the Erie County Clerk, I spoke with current Congressman Chris Jacobs, who was the former county clerk, and we talked about, you know, in Albany, I had a vision of how we can do that. So the first thing I did is we created the Erie County Zombie Task Force, and we've met with nearly every municipality in Erie County. You know, we've met with supervisors, mayors, code enforcement officers, clerks, municipal attorneys, town and village boards. And the important thing, Peter, is, you know, the foreclosure, the zombie property, the vacant abandoned property, here you are, you have this low inventory that you have people like yourself, business people, real estate agents, purchasers, they want these properties. And then on the other hand, you have a bank, maybe someone lost their home for some unfortunate circumstance. It could be a divorce. It could be a medical issue. But whatever that issue is, we have to turn that property around because, as you know, in Western New York, with our harsh winters, if a property stays vacant and abandoned for 2 or 3 years, it could make the house uninhabitable and possibly could lead to a demolition, which we don't want. We don't want those properties off the tax rolls. So one of the things I did was to bring people together. And initially, you know, I would say I held the banks accountable and I said, you know, you have to complete these faster. And they said, well, Mr. Kearns, you know, we would like to, but some of the laws constrain that. And I said, well, here's what we're going to do. Why don't we sit together at a table and let's have this discussion of how we can do that. And we've literally partnered, working with the Erie County Legislature. I'm very appreciative of their confidence in me. I just spoke with them yesterday in their committee. But we partnered with an expert not-for-profit, the West New York Law Center, and we said we need someone to do the research on these properties and turn them around. So the bank files the list pendant in the clerk's office, and then it gets forgotten. Nobody was thinking about the property, and they could get extensions of 2 or 3 and 4, and the courts themselves were not being aggressive on this, and we're going to continue to work with our courts. They're much, much better today than they were 3 years ago when we started pushing them to complete these foreclosure proceedings. But essentially, it's about a conversation. If you have someone who you know that doesn't want the property, then why are they going through the process? So we can shorten that process with a conversation, meet with the bank, talk to the homeowner, and we can get these properties properly transferred and properly moved back into the proper marketplace. And, you know, it's so interesting because people think about vacant and abandoned properties. They think about the city of Buffalo, maybe our first ring suburbs. We've been working with the town of Clarence on a property over on Sizzler Road. There was a complaint. And telling the service providers on behalf of the banks, even the banks themselves didn't know what the service providers were doing. And we were saying, you know, this property is not being properly maintained. And they would say, well, we're paying the service provider to do this. You have a national company that's not paying attention to maybe Buffalo or Clarence. And then we were working with them, and they were upset because they were like, well, that property on Schizzer Road, we're paying to maintain that. And we were notifying them of that. So it goes from all extremes, but I think the one word that we're trying to do is communication and working for solutions, Peter. I don't care why people got to where they got. And when I manage, no, those are personal problems. What I care about is, okay, how can we turn this property around? Because the banks have a lot of authority to do things that we don't want. One, they could discharge the mortgage. And if they discharge the mortgage to a property, if the value is not there, say in a City of Buffalo neighborhood, we know the values have gone up, then the municipality is responsible for that demolition, which could be between $10,000 and $20,000. That's not good business. So we're trying to make sure that we work with everyone involved. We work with the municipalities. We meet with them on a quarterly basis. I'm going to be announcing soon that we're going to have a countywide summit to talk about foreclosures and just to sit down and say, hey, let's get these properties back into the proper hands. Let's get them back into the marketplace so people can purchase them. Because, you know, I've known multiple people that have made, as you said, multiple offers. They want to buy a home, and they just can't do it because there's not enough inventory.
That's no question about that. Well, I'm glad to hear this, because that's been a age-old problem here in Western New York. A bank loans on a property for whatever reason, hardships or whatever, someone can't make payments, but it takes years to recover that property for the lender or even work something out with the current resident. It's a terrible mess, and I'm glad you're working on that. We have a couple of calls, Mickey, that we'd like to take. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you? Are you there, Gustav? Okay, we will go to John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Mickey. Mickey, what's the latest on issuance of driver's licenses to illegal aliens? And also, is there still an issue or a problem with illegal aliens being mistakenly registered to vote?
Sure. So, as you know, I took an oath of office. When I took that oath, it was to uphold the Constitution, and I filed a lawsuit in federal district court. And it really is discouraging, John, when you think about it, that when I filed that lawsuit, I didn't even get to go into court because the judge stated that I did not have standing. And in her response to me, she said, sometimes the doors of justice aren't always open. And I said to myself, I learned in school, I thought this was America. I don't mind going into court and losing, but we did appeal that decision, and to the appellate division, we lost that decision. So we're going to continue to look at that and look at that issue. But with the pandemic and what's going on, it's really forced us into a corner and forced us to really comply with the law. So for me, you know, we have taken it. I've bought it probably as far as I can take it. However, I was very disappointed. You're seeing right now with the state DMV the diminishing of the license. You know, a license isn't a right. It is a privilege. And you see that when the state of New York is saying that people do not have to come in to our auto bureaus to take their permit test. Now, that's always been the rite of passage. That's like taking, your testing at home. I know we've had to do this because of the pandemic, but to me, it was very disappointing, and it still is disappointing that, we have a court system that is not being reflective of all of society. And when someone tells you that the doors of justice are closed, like I said, I don't mind losing based on the arguments, but we didn't even get a chance to get into court.
Mickey, what about illegal aliens or whatever they're called today? What about their right to get a driver's license? Is that the case today?
Yeah, they have a right now. The New York State Legislature passed that law. So someone who is here illegally, someone who did violate the law, does have a right to get a New York State license. And the ironic thing is we see people every day. And when we were attacked in 9/11, Congress passed the Real ID Act. And as you know, starting in October of 2021, you cannot travel within the United States without either a passport or a real ID or an enhanced driver's license. To get that identification, you have to have proof of citizenship, a passport, an original Social Security card. And for many of our married women who changed their names, they may even need a marriage certificate, or if they were divorced and remarried, a divorce decree. It's a very complicated, very, very complicated transaction that we started an outreach throughout Erie County meeting before the pandemic, of course. But yes, there is a...
That flies in the face of giving an illegal alien a driver's license. How does that work? If I have to prove citizenship, how do I get... If I'm illegal, how do I do that?
So if someone, the way the legislature drafted, this is why I went to court, I said the cheapening of the license. So literally, they are taking documents from foreign countries and they're certifying those documents in the state DMV. We send them to Albany, they certify them, and it happens. That's why I went to court. I was the only... one of the only clerks. There was another gentleman, Frank Marolo, who did also try to sue on this matter. But it's the cheapening of the license. And, you know, this is what I'm saying about the legislature, that it comes down to votes. It doesn't come down to what's right or what's wrong. This is what it comes down to. It comes down to vote. Who's going to get me reelected? And Governor Cuomo was one of the major proponents of people who are illegal to get a driver's license.
This, in my mind, is crazy. But anyway, we have to go to break. We'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
Hunt has been serving your real estate services needs since 1911. In all that time, Hunt has never lost their commitment to this community, and nothing, including our current challenges, will change that commitment. Hunt will face the challenges as they always have with you, together. Through the power of state-of-the-art technology, they're able to remain open for business at Hunt Mortgage. Call 633-3700 and any of Hunt's mortgage professionals can assist you. Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, NMLS 37405, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the continuously upgraded huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment, the second look program, and the low rate and closing cost guarantee. Call them today, 633-3700. I'm live remote today with Mickey Kearns, who is the Erie County Clerk, and we've been talking about a fairly wide range of topics, and most recently about how the state... through its actions, really is kind of going against what might be national law. I don't get all this, but we had a couple texts and also a caller we've got on the line, Mickey. We've got a gentleman who says, Mickey, any way that all of the DMV revenue could stay in Western New York counties rather than going to the state?
I wish that was true. When I was at when I was a New York State Assembly member. Right now, we get 12.75%, and we've asked, I've worked with the Clerks Association, we've asked for a higher percentage of revenue to come back based on the transactions. What many people don't know is we are agents of this, meaning that primarily we work with the state of New York, so our computer systems at our local DMVs, those are DM computer systems. So when they go down, it's, you know, I've been complaining that's not our fault, that's the state's fault. But to answer your question, sure, we would love to get more revenue, but unfortunately, the state is pushing people to go online. We do not get all of the online revenue. And finally, I say to the listeners out there, I get calls every day of people will say, well, I went online and I'm waiting for New York State to get my registration back, to get my license back. I do not have any authority or control over that. If you come into the office with an appointment, I can help you with that because we have control over that process because that transaction originated in Erie County. So, yes, New York State will never give up that revenue. It's the number one revenue generator for the state legislature.
Well, that's not good to hear. Anyway, Another comment. Great to hear a representative with a spine. This is to you, Mickey. Keep up the good work. We have a caller on the line. This is Bob on his cell phone. Bob, how can we help you?
Yes, I would just ask a question and make a quick comment. I find that the governments really don't jive together anymore or work for the common interests of the people. As you've talked on this program before about, say, like wind farms, I asked the question how many federal birds are killed, such as eagles, hawks, falcons, geese, so on and so forth. I can't find that information from my own government. My question has to do with how wacky everything has become. Since this office handles pistol permits, we've now legalized marijuana in this state, and yet there are federal gun laws on the books. It says that if you buy legal marijuana, your guns are automatically taken from you. And that is something that I would like you just to touch on, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much for the program.
Thank you. Interesting question. How would you respond to that, Mickey?
Sure. So as Erie County Clerk, we work with there's three components to the pistol permit process. It originates in the clerk's office, which we re-engineered. Obviously, there are background checks that are completed by our Erie County Sheriff, Sheriff Howard, who's been very progressive and very unbelievable of helping us shorten the time to make this a more equitable process. And then finally, there is the hearing officer, Judge Bowler, and Judge Bowler takes all of the information and he makes that final decision on whether you deserve that privilege and right to carry that firearm. So, yes, last Saturday, matter of fact, I put a call into the district attorney, John Flynn. I conveyed to him that I'd love for him to talk to him. I'm reviewing the legislation and how that's going to impact our pistol permit process. And we'll work with our partners, the Erie County Sheriff Howard and Judge Bowler, to do that. I'm very concerned about the legalization of marijuana, especially to let people know, and I convey this to our district attorney, that just because something is legalized doesn't mean that you can go out on the roads and drive high. You could kill someone. You could cause a major, major accident. So there is a responsibility with driving. As I said earlier, I have many people that call my office. They may have sustained maybe three or four driving while intoxicated, and there's nothing I can do to help them based on the change in the regulations that after three DWIs, your license is revoked. So people need to think about that. Young people, if you're listening, do not drink and drive. Do not drive distracted. Do not drive on drugs, or you may lose that privilege. So we are reviewing that, but it is a very serious thing that, once again, the legislature has done that's going to have a major impact on the local community and our safety.
You know, it's very interesting as we look at the real mission of our show here, which is to help people protect and enhance their investment in real estate. And we look at legislative actions, which the only reason I can think for the state to legalize marijuana is for taxes, for a money grab. And also they're acknowledging that there's illegal activity going on all over the place, and so why not just make it legal and so that it becomes, I guess, legitimate in some way, shape, or form. Yet there's a whole secondary issue, which they're experiencing in other states like Colorado, where people that earn money through the sale or the whatever distribution of marijuana are unable to deposit it in a bank because it's against the law nationally. So as you see things like this evolve, where you've got a clear conflict between what a state does and what's done at the national level, and really, as you described earlier, in terms of a driver's license and being able to go between and across state lines, how is this rationalized in your mind, Mickey? I mean, that these blatant contradictions.
Well, in Albany, you learn, or anytime you're an elected official, there's two words that you have to think about when you think about legislation. You have to think it through, but there's something called unintended consequences. And these unintended consequences will have an impact. As you stated, what is the primary reason why you're trying to do something? When I was pushing the reform and making sure that we can clean up these zombie properties, my intention was to help the local community. It was a pure intention. It was something to help get homes back on the tax revenue. When you're looking at this, the intention is to generate revenue. And instead of saying, well, maybe we need smaller government, maybe there are ways that we could do it, our society today looks to the simple solutions, and especially our government. What is the easiest way to do things? My father didn't purchase his first house until he was 40 years old because he didn't feel as though that you needed a big down payment on a property. And when I purchased my first home, he said, how do you do that? And I said, Dad, they let you put a little money down today. You don't have to put a lot of money down. So what is the simple solution? And government is going, we're not raising the bar. If you think about our past leaders, the innovative ways we can work together, we're going to the lowest common denominator, and we're really bankrupting our morals to meet our fiscal responsibilities. And to me, it's so disheartening that this is what we've come to. And we have so many people that aren't paying attention, even in a time when we have access to information. As John said, or it was Bob said, our government is not being responsive to our taxpayers. They want government information. They want documents. They have to file legal FOILs in order to get that information. We have a government that's now secretive. We're not getting that proper information, even to elected officials. I had to FOIL documents over and over and over again just to get information. That's not the way government should work, Peter. So, you know, we're going to have a problem. And, you know, unfortunately, they do not look to those people that generate those laws. Marijuana, this law is not a positive thing for our community. And I have no problem saying that. As Erie County Clerk, you know, I always say, you know, it's going to be disappointing when I'm behind the counter and some young person says, well, I thought it was legal. I was high, but I wasn't going to hurt anyone. Or God forbid they injure someone. There is a consequence to your actions, and it's the things we tell our kids. You got to be responsible. But our government is not being fiscally responsible and morally responsible to the citizens.
Well, and this goes to the whole issue of education, in my mind, Mickey, and how we educate our young people today on what are good and bad for them, and also how they can contribute to society as they age. And of course, this whole issue with the schools being closed in many cases, to me, this is our young people are being crushed, and then on top of that, we layer on a bad legislation like this that only encourages more, I guess, bad behavior. One person said to me not too long ago, we were talking about this issue of marijuana, legalized or otherwise, and he said, well, it doesn't make you any smarter. And that's definitely true. It's like alcohol is in the same case. But the fact of the matter is that we're not doing our country any favors by making things, I guess, more dangerous, more risky health-wise, certainly with unintended consequences, someone innocently hurt by someone who's high driving around. And I don't mean to editorialize, but the fact of life is that it seems to me that it's all about what I said earlier. It's all about grabbing a few tax dollars. And you know, I hope anyway, people like you that have a voice, that have a position, a public position, can affect some positive change. But it seems to me the winds are blowing against you.
Well, and I think you're right. I think you have to have a dialogue. You have to have a discussion. And here's the other thing that really concerns me. I talk to business people every day, and the number one thing they say, and I didn't coin this phrase, but the one thing they always say is there are jobs looking for people. I remember growing up, you know, working many different types of jobs, and there's no job that is beneath anyone. But you know, today we have so many jobs out there that young people could really be productive members of society, and they choose a different path. And I always, when I give talks to young people, say, you know, the things you do today will impact yourself in the future. So here's the difference. And I'm not a proponent. You know, like I said, alcohol, once you're 21, if you drink responsibly, no one's saying that people can't do things responsibly, but the difference is going to be, and I think it's going to be a major impact on industry and businesses, that when you utilize marijuana, that stays in your system for a month in many instances. And when you're going, and private industry can still drug test. They have that right as independent employers. Are people going to lose potential job opportunities because of a mistake? So our young people really have to think about this, that this is not when you take drugs, this is not a one-time thing that will be out of your system the next day. You know, you could be going for a job 3, 4, 5 weeks later, and you could be refused because of a failed drug test.
Mickey, I have to interrupt you. We are running out of time here. Unfortunately, I'd like to invite you back because we've only touched on some of the topics I was hoping to bring up with you today. But I want to thank you very much, Mickey Kern, Zuri County Clerk, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. I really enjoyed it.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate New York is Hunt Country.
WBEN Buffalo, WKSE 3 HD 3 Niagara Falls.
An Odyssey station.